Well, I mean, that is a question, and clearly people should have noticed that. But when you're dealing with someone who you've placed in trust, because if I remember correctly, I believe she started in the 1980s in that position. So if she started in the 1980s but didn't start stealing till 2006, over that course in time, she built up some trust. Another word for fraud is a con. That word con comes from the old term for people that committed fraud called a confidence man, back from the 1920s. And a confidence man was called that because they had to gain your confidence, gain your trust. Once they gained your confidence or gained your trust and you stopped looking at them as a stranger and stopped looking at them with the normal suspicion you would look at somebody, all of a sudden you're willing to trust them and to maybe look the other way or not look with the same kind of skepticism. Bernie Madoff, the Madoff fraud, people were willing to give their life savings, turn over millions of dollars to this person because he had gained their trust. And this is very, very typical. So you would have to speculate that over the course of some 20 years that this person had probably gained the trust of many people in town, especially in a small town, and of the mayor and the city council. In addition, because it's a small town, she wore more than one hat. In a bigger town, the controller and the treasurer would be two different people. They would work together, but they would be providing some checks and balances to each other.
Another angle on that is how do you miss $30 million is what city government couldn't do minus, you know, $5 million a year.
This is correct. They had a budget, and the budget required them to do certain things within the city. And you would assume that somewhere along the way, near the end of the year, they didn't have the money to do everything that they had said they were going to do. And clearly that should have been something that somebody said, well, where did this money go to? Did we have overruns of expenses and other projects? Did we not bring in the revenues that we needed to have? Those should have been the issues.
What other safeguards can the city put in place that would prevent something like this in the future?
Well, I think a big safeguard for not just municipalities, but for companies in general, is that they have to be aware and be looking at their employees. Here you had an employee who, at the end of their career, I believe was making $80,000 a year and had seven trucks, a $2 million motorhome, a horse ranch, and was engaged in a very expensive hobby of showing horses around the country. And somewhere, somebody who knew this had to ask where the money was coming from to do this. There's a relatively well-known story down in the state of Tennessee at a small municipality where a state employee who was well-versed in fraud detection claims they detected a fraud driving into the parking lot at a city hall, because there amongst the cars that the employees had were your typical Chevy Cavalier and Dodge Neon and one candy apple red Porsche. And this person knew enough to ask about the Porsche. And it turned out that that Porsche belonged to a city inspector. And that person knew city inspectors don't generally make Porsche money, not unless they're taking bribes and kickbacks. And that's exactly what was happening. And the issue here was this was not a car that this person had purchased the week before. This person had been driving the car for a while. But again, the city council, the mayor, did not have the training to think about the question, to look at this and think of this as an indication of a possible fraud. Managers in all walks of life, in all kinds of different companies, have to be looking at their employees and looking at situations that may indicate that an employee is living beyond the means that they can have from their salary that they're getting or any other benefits that they're getting. But these are things that go on in companies all the time. People who love to gamble, and managers not asking well, how much gambling are they doing, and can they afford to be doing the gambling that they do? Other kinds of addictions, such as addictions to drugs that create a need, a financial need, these are things that take people who might have been honest person. This person worked at Dixon for 20 years, apparently, or more, without stealing. So somewhere along the line, maybe getting into this horse hobby and finding out it wasn't making money. And again, I'm purely speculating at that. But we have many situations where people who were honest people, they came, they worked and whatever, and they get themselves into some financial difficulty. And they believe that the answer to that difficulty is to steal. And as a fraud examiner, this is one of the things that I do and that fraud examiners do, is we help to train frontline managers so that the frontline managers, the people who see these employees on an everyday basis, can recognize these things. Most gamblers love to talk about gambling. It's not like it's a hidden sort of thing. Obviously, that's different with someone who maybe has a drug problem. They're not going to talk about that. But managers can, by knowing their employees and knowing what they're doing and seeing changes in the lifestyle, might look at that and ask the questions as to where the financial wherewithal is coming from to engage in these kinds of activities.
What I'm really, what's starting to dawn on me now is you really do need an outsider to be able to come in and, you know, maybe report these things to or have do these investigations, because honestly, in a small town, everyone knows everyone. Everyone is hands off. It's none of my business what someone does in their personal life. But you're asking, you know, people who are in charge of a city or people who are in charge of businesses to actually look at what someone does in their personal life to see these signs. You know, maybe that guy with the Porsche has a rich wife, but, you know.
Right. Well, again, and you can ask that question. If somebody says, well, you know, my wife has a great job, or I won the lottery, somewhere there's probably some evidence that's the case. So I'm not saying that you've got to accuse somebody. We're not asking a manager to walk up to somebody and accuse them. And maybe you do need to bring in a third party. Corporations, especially publicly traded companies that are under the rules of the SEC, they are required to have hotlines, numbers where employees can call and people can call if they have a suspicion. And maybe that's what Dixon needed. It was somebody, my understanding is it was somebody last October going to the mayor and saying something about an account, saying they didn't know that this account was appropriate, that led to this investigation. And I will commend the mayor that when this was brought to their attention last October, they did take the steps to go forward and go to the FBI and find out what was going on. The question is, if they had a hotline, again, a proactive measure where someone could report something that they didn't think was appropriate, would this not have come out a year, 2 years, 3 years sooner? We can only say, you know, possibly that could have happened.
And that was the city clerk who was actually filling in for Ms. Crundwell.
Right.
And, you know, so something had, I would guess something had raised her suspicions, mm-hmm. to say, I'm going to look at all these bank statements.
Yes. And very often when you're dealing with fraudsters, there have been a lot of cases when they look at somebody who has never taken a day off of work. They've come to work sick. They've foregone their vacation, or they take their vacation by just taking Mondays because they like, quote, like long weekends because their accounts are balanced on Fridays. And they know they have to be there, because you see what happened when this person wasn't there and somebody filled in. They discovered this. A fraud is hard work. Fraud is hard work. It creates a person to be there and to babysit or nurture this fraud, because somebody else looking at the numbers, as what happened in Dixon, may discover what's going on. Many corporations require people to take vacations. Vacations are a control over financial problems. And people don't always look at it that way. I was an auditor for a bank many years ago before I went into academics. And anybody that had an account that they balanced had to take a vacation, and that vacation had to cover one of the balancing periods so that somebody else would go in there and balance the account. This business of, oh, I don't need a vacation, or I'm not taking a vacation, while that may be a sign of dedication to your job, may also be a sign of you don't want somebody else looking at your work or doing your job while you're missing.
I will never look at vacations the same way now. I never knew.
Well, I don't know too many people either who want to forego their vacations. Again, they generally have a good reason for doing that, and fraud may be. And fraud is hard work. There are people who they're engaged in a fraud, and you'll see a change in their demeanor. Many fraudsters will tell you that after a while, when they've stolen a lot of money, they believe that every time there's a knock on the door, it's going to be the police, that every time the phone rings, it's going to be somebody telling them that they know what they're going to do. And because of that stress involved in that, somebody who was really a nice person who you would see in the hall and say, how are you doing? And they'd say, oh, I'm doing fine. How are you? Whatever. Now you see them in the hall and you say, how you doing? They say, who wants to know? Because the stress and the situations that are involved here are tremendous.
The accounting firms that did these audits, how accountable are they for what happened?
Okay. Many municipalities have rules on the books that require a change in auditor every 5 years, every 7 years. One of the concerns here, and remember we go back to this situation of a fraud being a con and being a confidence game, is that the person here who's the controller and treasurer and the auditors who come back every year, and with a small firm, you're generally going to have the same people coming back every year. In a big firm, they might change people. They get to be a relationship. They get to the point where the auditor has been there 4 or 5 or 6 years and everything has been fine, and they don't have that same degree, again, going back to professional skepticism. We're supposed to have objectivity and be looking at the evidence. Well, you know, when you know somebody, you are predisposed maybe to leaning one way or the other. So there are many municipalities around the country that limit the amount of time an auditor can be the auditor there, feeling that after 5 years or after 7 years, that's been long enough, and we need not only to make sure that people don't have those relationships, but sometimes a fresh pair of eyes looking at something. There have been many instances where companies have changed auditors, and the new auditors, because they're looking at things a little bit differently, they're running certain different tests and such, uncover something that the first auditor had missed. So that would be one thing here. Auditors, their main job is to express an opinion on the fair presentation of the financial statements. Are the financial statements representative of what's going on in this entity, be it a company or a municipality? They are not fraud examiners. Their major job is not to look for and discover frauds. That being said, they are supposed to audit with a sense of fraud awareness. In other words, they do have some training in the red flags of what's going on in terms of fraud. And therefore, when they come across something in the accounts or in the course of their audit that may look like a fraud, they are required to investigate that and possibly to bring in fraud examiners if they believe that the evidence warrants that. And to that end, you'd have to ask the question of whether or not the auditors looked at this person's lifestyle, the trucks and the motorhome and the ranch and such, and whether or not they would have brought that as a red flag in terms of the activities that were going on.